Hi, you're listening to my favourite Elliot Smith song. In this podcast, we try, in our own very small way, to keep Elliot Smith's legacy alive by speaking to well-known fans about their favourite song of his. In this episode, we're taking a bit of a two-pronged approach to the song we're looking at. First up, we'll have our main interview, which is with the musician Sammy Brew. Then we'll speak to an old friend and a former guest of the show, Max Bloom, as he actually covered the song that Sammy picked for an Elliot Smith tribute album that came out a few years ago. We'll then round this all off at the end with a listener pick and a couple of other bits and pieces as well. But first up, let's get to our main guest, Sammy Brew. Sammy is a musician based in Ogden, Utah in the United States, and he released his first album at the age of just 16, and now at only 18 he's put out his second record, Crash Test Kid. And Sammy's also quite new as an Elliot Smith fan, having only delved a bit deeper into Elliot's back catalogue on a recent tour to Germany. And in this interview he talks to Elizabeth Woodstanley about how he's enjoying discovering Elliot's music and why it resonates with him so much. And at the beginning of the episode, he does also reveal a bit of the podcast magic that means we get a different guest talking about a different song every time. But hopefully you don't mind that little look behind the scenes. So here he is. Here's Sammy Brew talking to Elizabeth from his home in Ogden, Utah.
My name is Sammy Brew. I'm a singer-songwriter and I live in Ogden, Utah. I've always known Elliot Smith for, his hits, like Between the Bars and Angelus and whatnot. When you guys sent me the list of songs and you told me to choose one that wasn't on there, it was hard for me because all of the songs I knew were on there already. And so it really made me dig some more about him. And I started learning a lot more about him. And just like weird stuff came up randomly as soon as you actually asked me to do this interview. Like people, I was on tour with the Marcus King Band in Europe, and the bass player, Steven, was like, "Hey, man, are you an Elliot Smith fan?" Just like weird little stuff. There's actually a skateboarder, a legendary skateboarder who died today. His name's Jeff Grosso, and I saw a picture of him today wearing an Elliot Smith shirt. So it's just like super weird stuff. But I chose Bled White, and I had never really heard it before this interview, and now it's like one of my favorite songs right now. I can't stop playing it. I think it's the very like melancholy chords in it, and I was looking at some lyrics, and you know, he uses words like yesterday dream, I'm a color reporter. And I don't know, it's really just sticking out to me. I've noticed he does bridges in a way that, you know, it's the same song, but it's different and it's almost like another hook. And he does that really well in this song. The bridge is like another chorus, pretty much. I love that when songs do that.
What do you think he's kind of diving into in this song?
I'm getting definitely a painter's theme. Like he thinks of a city, either Rose City, Portland, or just a city in general is like almost like a blank canvas. The city's been bled white. He talks about painting this paling town, which like I understand that completely. Like me and my friends, we go out and hang up posters with little sayings that we like to make, and you know, you could call it vandalism, but it's also just expressing yourself. I think that's more in like a literal sense though, you know. But it's got some dark lyrics as well. Some like reassuring lyrics too, like, don't you dare disturb me while I'm balancing my past, because you can't help or hurt me like it already has. You can't help or hurt me. I feel like that's like he's definitely a loner type, you know, and he's very sure about himself. You can't help or hurt me.
It sounds like maybe a lost cause in a way, like he doesn't think there's no way out of the situation.
Yeah. And it's almost like you can take it either way. Yeah. Which I'd say I really relate to that. You know, of course, like things hurt and things help, but he talks about like just anger and being mean. It's just like a waste of time. And so people, you're wasting your time doing it and you're wasting your time listening to it, you know? I love when people like almost make up words like yesterday dream. Like I'm definitely using that in a song down the road. And I'm a color reporter. Like just to start off a song with I'm a color reporter, that'll really like get people thinking for sure. And there's actually, I was looking around and there was a band that's called The Color Reporters. I don't know. It's sad when artists pass away, especially as young as he did, but you know, like when I was in elementary school, me and my school sang a Woody Guthrie song, and it was This Land Is Your Land. And that young, I was pretty blown away that like this guy's dead. He's been dead for I don't know how long, and people are still singing his songs to this day. And like not only just singing, like a whole kindergarten like class is singing his song. And like just the fact that me and you right now are trying to almost decode this song. It's like he's doing the same exact thing. And that's like, I think that's the goal, you know, like that's the goal is to live on. And I feel like he definitely wanted to live on, you know, but didn't know how to deal with it in like the moment.
Right. But his songs certainly do live on.
They definitely live on. He's just one of those people, you know, it's pretty underground, but he's just a legend at the same time. So I wait for the F train, White City on the yellow line, and connect to a friend of mine, White City to a friend of mine, to a yesterday dream. Yesterday dream is just a waste of time.
And the Bled White title and the, you know, how it kind of comes up in the song, it's interesting because you definitely get sort of a visual from it.
Yeah, just like I definitely see just like a blank canvas of a city. You know, that's what he sees, at least. That's what he's painting in his head or in my head.
And does it seem like he wants to leave this place? Or he's just okay with it. This is just how it is.
I feel like he wants to change it. Towards the end, he's got more like uplifting, you know. It may not seem quite right, but I'm not fucked. Not quite. You know, but in the first little bit of the song, kind of talks about, you know, like being hurt. So here he comes with the blank expression, especially for me, because he knows I feel the same.
You said, you know, very recently now, you've become a big fan of this song. Were you just listening to XO and kind of stumbled across it?
Me and my tour manager listened to the whole XO record in Germany, actually. And it was just kind of random. I just pulled it up and we didn't stop listening to it.
Other than XO, are you familiar with the rest of his catalog, or are you sort of discovering it?
I'm still discovering it pretty good. I've listened to the self-titled record a little bit, Either Or, but I'm still trying to make my way down the line. And it's with a lot of artists with me that it takes me some warming up to, because you know, in some songs I just can't understand what he's doing musically. And I feel like I've tried to listen to albums in the past and my mind just kind of wandered. But it's starting to, you know, once I listened to that XO on tour in Europe, I started like understanding more, which I love artists when that happens.
And can you talk about when you first came across Elliott Smith's music?
My mom and dad are from Portland, and I grew up in Portland for the first little bit of my life. And that's where he lived most of his life. And I don't know, it was more just like my dad knew a couple songs, played them. But one of my favorite bands is the Avett Brothers, and Seth Avett, the guitar player, he did a whole Elliott Smith cover record pretty much. And so I think that was like my first little introduction.
Can you talk at all about maybe your songwriting practice in terms of, you know, something a lot of people are really interested in Elliott Smith is, I mean, he's pretty equally, people are interested in how he puts the music together and how he writes, you know, the words to these songs, and that his songs often people really relate to them because they're somewhat ambiguous in a way. He's talking about specific things, but he's also leaving it very open so that people can kind of engage with the song.
Yeah, I'd try to go into a song knowing what I'm gonna say, whether it's about something or a story, or I just want to say something in that moment. And I find myself sometimes being very poignant and to the point, like I'm being almost too poignant sometimes, and I definitely relate to that, to where it's like some lines you just gotta leave out or leave some space so people can interpret it on their own and make an assumption and link it to their lives somehow. Because if it's so poignant, you know, it's not as relatable almost. It will be relatable to a lot of people, but leaving that space and making them think and intriguing them with a line that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, you're like you said, leaving that space, it's got more of an art factor to it because people are there interpreting it. I think in a lot of his songs, you know, he's saying something that's on his mind, and, you know, I feel like he all wants us to paint the city, you know, especially like I understand that so well because in Ogden, it's so bleak, you know. Ogden's different from the rest of Utah because, you know, it's got a different history and it's more grungy and it's more old school and old, but for the most part, it's still, you know, like kids who go to high school here, they don't have shit to do. They don't know how to express themselves. You know, there's nowhere to play. There's nowhere to do really anything except for go cause mischief. And I don't know, if we could just somehow direct that high energy teenage mischief into painting the city, something beautiful would come out of it, for sure.
So thank you then to Sammy Brew for being a guest on the podcast. And we do wish him well as he continues on his Elliott Smith journey. Now, next up is a guest from season one of this podcast who has not only covered Bled White, but has recorded a version of it for a tribute album called Say Yes, which came out in 2016. It's actually got a great lineup of people on that record, as it also has the likes of Waxahachie and Jay Maskus playing on it. Anyway, Max Bloom and his band Yuck covered Bled White for that album, and here's Max telling us about why they chose that song and what it was like covering it.
My name is Max Bloom. I used to play in Yuck, and now I do solo music.
And Max, when you were playing with Yuck, it was in 2016, you covered Bled White for an Elliott Smith tribute album. Why did you pick this song?
EXO is, it changes every day, but you know, I think at that point, EXO was my favourite Elliott Smith record. And I was looking for a song from that record to cover. And I was going through them and they were all really, really difficult to play. So there was that aspect of it. But also I wanted to do Bled White because I felt like, you know, we could do it in the kind of Yuck style. It's kind of the most straight up rock song, I think, on that record. Because like Sweet Adeline and whatever, you know, it's very almost kind of proggy and not kind of linear in its structure. So I tried to approach Bled White, and it was when I was kind of sitting down and trying to work it out that I actually realized it was just as complicated, if not more complicated, than the other songs on the album.
So it's more difficult than it might sound.
I mean, it's deceptively difficult, and you know, that is where the genius of Elliott Smith really lies, because he makes really, really complicated stuff sound completely effortless. And he does that the whole time. And so he hid a lot of really interesting kind of musical tricks and Easter eggs within that song that, you know, only when I sat down and I kind of tried to play along with it and work out the structure did I realize that, you know, it was actually more difficult than I thought. But, you know, I did it. I think I simplified it. But I did it in the way that that I always imagined the song could be, if that makes sense. Whenever I heard that song, I always kind of, it tends to hold back a little bit. I feel like the song wants to be really heavy, but it ends up being quite breezy. Like the drums sit quite low down in the mix, and you know, the guitars are like very clean. But then at the same time, it's kind of this driving, it's got this kind of driving tempo and this kind of, you know, forward momentum. And, you know, I think my idea with this cover is that I just wanted to kind of capture that and just make it heavier and kind of see how it sounded as like a driving rock song rather than kind of a light alternative rock.
Are there any other elements about the song that you like other than, you know, it obviously being more difficult to play than it seems? Do you connect with it lyrically, for example? Or
so I, you know, there was one lyric in particular in the song that, you know, reminded me of the tube map, White City on the yellow line, even though White City is actually on the central line. Maybe he was mistaken, or maybe it's nothing to do with that at all. But I really like that lyric. And also I really like one of the ending lyrics, I'm not fucked, not quite. You know, saying the word fuck in a song is, you know, is really, it can be really satisfying and really effective. And I think I made a Spotify playlist once, actually, of my favourite uses of the word fuck in songs. And, you know, there are some really satisfying and good ones. But yeah, Bled White is definitely on that playlist.
Do you remember any of those other songs that made the cut on that playlist?
Let me think. So the Pavement song Range Life is another good example of the word fuck in a song that's really satisfying when he's talking about Smashing Pumpkins.
And Max was kind enough to play in the tribute show in London that we helped organise last year, and he played Bled White there too, so we thought, why not play you a little clip of that as well.
Thank you.
And that was Max playing Bled White for us in London last year. He also played on the Instagram live show we organised with La Blogothèque and Francis Lung on the 29th of June. And I just want to say a big thank you to everyone who tuned in and donated to the LGBTQ+ charities we were supporting through that show. In total, we raised more than £1,500, which Google reliably informs me is $1,881. So really, thank you to all of you who supported that gig. So that's basically it for this episode. Just the usual reminder that you can feature on the show by sending us a voice note telling us what your favourite Elliott Smith song is to submissions@myfavouriteelliottsmithsong.com. And of course, please do rate and review the podcast if you're enjoying it. And follow us on social media as well. We're on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Finally, thank you to our guests, Sammy Brew and Max Bloom. Thanks to Elizabeth Widstanley for producing the show with me. And of course, thank you for listening to it. To round off today, here is Rebecca from London here in the UK, talking us through her favourite Elliott Smith song. Thanks for listening.
Hi, I'm Rebecca from London. I just want to start by thanking you so much for your podcast. I discovered it during lockdown and have subsequently binged all of it. It's been such an insightful look at Elliott's life and work. So, thanks for making it to start with. But for my favourite Elliott Smith song, I've loved Elliott's music since Annette put Alphabet Town on a mix CD for me back in early 2000s, like 2002, I think. And from then, I've cycled through favourite albums. I'm sure everyone can relate to going through phases of different Elliott Smith songs being their favourite. But the one song that will always literally stop me from what I'm doing and almost force me to listen to it fully is Christian Brothers. It's just laced with such raw emotion. It's impossible to not be moved by it. I find it desperately sad, yet almost indignantly defiant. His I know how much you care is so sarcastic, you can almost feel his eye roll as he says it. And the way his voice almost cracks as he sings the last Nightmares Become Me. Ah, there's such anguish, like he's resigned himself to that life and lifestyle. Yet he knows how self-destructive it is. It's, I don't know, I guess you could call it like defiant denial almost. But it's such a seemingly simple song, but the complex sound he's achieved with a little snare drum and layering his guitar and his vocals is so hauntingly beautiful. I keep finding myself drawn back to the original Elliott songs where it's just sort of him stripped down to his vocals and his guitar and not much else. There's almost nowhere to hide and you're just left with him and his incredible ability to resonate with every person.